Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Wanted to give a shout out to Tanner Wallace Scribner, Mancona's finest, for filling in for me over the last couple of days last week. Had some, personal matters to take care of. It's been kind of a roller coaster ride as of late, so wanted to thank Tanner for keeping the ship afloat. Here's what we got going on for today's program. Lots of ground to cover, not the least of which with Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com, as he spoke with an accountant from MNP about changes to the capital gains tax and what that means for farmers. A little bit confusing there, hopefully to simplify things with the first story. Elsewhere, the USDA says placements of cattle in U.S. feedlots were down last month. And of course, the farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Up first on Sask Ag Today is the interview with Kevin Hirsch and an accountant from MNP about the capital gains tax and what that means for you.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
SaskAg Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Farmers will be affected by the changes to capital gains tax announced in last week's federal budget. The changes will make it more complicated to navigate capital gains tax when selling farmland. Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com talked with Ryan Keurig, the national leader for agricultural tax with MNP.
Let's start with what probably most people consider the good news, the increase in the lifetime capital gains exemption. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely here. So at the start of 2024 here, every individual in Canada is entitled to a lifetime capital gain exemption that they can use on the sale of certain properties here. Now, quite often the farm world, this equates to farmland, sale of quota, qualified farm partnership interest, or even shares in a farming corporation. As of 2024, it had been just over $1 million and change here, but budget 2024 is proposed to increase this up to an even $1.25 million per person, so quite a significant increase in this or in the time. But this increase won't come into play until June 25th, 2024, which is the date we can talk more about in a minute. But this is a good thing that was in the budget to help producers and to help those with family transitions and so forth.
Now, on the other hand, there's a extra inclusion rate for capital gains tax in other situations. Can you run through that?
Absolutely, Kevin. This is probably the one that's getting the most news fair lately, is the government has came out with, as if they're stated their intention to change the capital gain inclusion rate from its current level of 50% up to an inclusion rate of 2/3 or 66.6% effective June 25th, 2024 again. So really what that means is any appreciation assets where you have capital gains, they're going to get more expensive from a tax perspective after June 25th.
And that's any amount over $250,000?
So this is where the complexity comes in into this equation as well. So there's two different ways to look at these capital gains from a personal and a corporate perspective. And we'll start personally first. So on a personal level, your first $250,000 of capital gains in any year will stay subject to the old inclusion rate of 50%. So there'd be no change up to that amount. If you start to have capital gains that are over $250,000 in a given year on a personal level, then you'll pay tax at the new 66% tax rate or 66% inclusion rate. So it's going to be a blend depending on your specific capital gain inclusion rate is going to be dependent on your income level in a particular year, give or take. So for the corporate side here, it's a little more simplistic in the sense that after June 25th, 2024, the inclusion rate for capital gains in a corporation is going to be a flat two-thirds. There's going to be no $250,000 exemption that would keep you at the old inclusion rate of 50%. So the corporate side, while more punitive, is a little more straightforward in how it's going to operate.
So for an incorporated farm, for instance, an incorporated farm selling farmland will be hit with that full increase in the inclusion rate.
That's correct. Any farmland sold out of an incorporated farm after June 25th will be subject to the higher capital gain rate. So the interesting thing about this June 25th date is it's about 8-9 weeks in the future from the current time here. We're starting to hear a lot of questions out there. Should I be selling my land ahead of time? And that's obviously a personal discussion that needs to be had with your financial and tax advisor to go through it, because it's not always a simple answer in that aspect in terms of where that land exists, if it's held personally versus if it's held corporately. But if you do know that you had corporate land that you were planning to sell in the near term, there's probably a worthwhile discussion to go in and have. Could that transaction be done prior to June 25th to take advantage of those 50% inclusion rates?
And for a corporation selling farmland, that was never eligible for the lifetime capital gains exemption, right?
That's correct. It wasn't eligible. So
it's going to really depend on your situation, too. If you're, you would just recommend that people assess their individual situation, both personally and corporately, with their financial or their tax advisor before making any decisions.
Absolutely, Kevin. Like, that's one thing I would really like to stress here is everybody's circumstances are going to be different. A lot of the discussions will come down to, well, do you even have any of your lifetime capital gain exemption left, or have you used it personally? Now, we know going forward people are going to get this enhanced amount come after June 25th, but also, what is the time horizon for the farm? Another common question we've been getting a little bit is, well, I was thinking about selling my farm in the next year or two. Should this change my time horizon? Well, there's a lot of questions on that one, and tax is only one part of the answer or one part of the equation that needs to be discussed on it, but it's hard to give a blanket generic answer to such a circumstance. So it might come down to, well, what other options are you looking at? How much land? What is the dollar value you're talking about? And what are your plans for the cash if you were to do it? So there's a whole myriad of factors that need to come in. I don't think there needs to be any rush decisions in this area, but if you're all feel like that might fit your scenario here in the next year or two, it would be definitely worthwhile to get a hold of your advisor and have a discussion about this.
That was Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com in conversation with Ryan Kirik, M&P's national leader for agricultural tax. We'll take a quick break, but Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, crop insurance at cost. See municipalhail.ca. Saskatchewan farmers will have to adapt in the future to changing climate conditions, according to the director of a Saskatoon-based water institute. John Pomeroy is with Global Water Futures Observations, which has a network of 5 dozen freshwater monitoring and observation stations placed strategically across the country. Pomeroy believes the biggest changes ahead are rising temperature and changing precipitation patterns.
Absolutely warmer, particularly in summer and in midwinter, less so in spring and fall, and overall wetter, but with a potent qualification there. The increase in precipitation is mostly in the winter time and in the spring, with summers becoming quite a bit drier. So that's going to challenge agriculture in Saskatchewan quite a bit.
Pomeroy says 2023 may be an example of what could occur in the future.
We were about 5 degrees above normal in May and June throughout the prairies and the mountains. It gave us essentially an extra month of summer that we didn't expect. And the drought was in short, we ran out of water before that summer was over, whether it was river flow or soil moisture in many parts of the province. So that tells us what we're doing right now won't work. We have to adapt to the situation.
That includes developing and growing more drought-resistant and earlier maturing crops.
So we need to think about crops that will thrive in those circumstances. We don't grow much winter wheat here right now, but maybe this will be a viable alternative for the future, just as one example. And also looking at crops that take advantage of that moisture early in the season and basically get through before the really hot, dry conditions occur.
Pomeroy says some locations in Saskatchewan already have less available water.
The Saskatchewan River Delta around Cumberland Hills hitting such low levels that muskrat populations plummeted, so they're virtually unobtainable. The community of Cumberland Hills had difficulty accessing drinking water over the winter, things like this. Leader Saskatchewan had difficulty accessing drinking water over this last winter. So we're seeing this now. We're seeing the water crisis in Saskatchewan. And I'm hoping the drought ends. This storm is giving me some hope, but we'll see more of it. So we have to be ready. And this, I hope and intend, will help us prepare for that.
John Pomeroy is the Director of Global Water Futures Observation, which is monitoring freshwater supplies and river flows at strategic locations across Canada. We'll take another break here, but coming up next is AgriView with Doug Falconer as he'll walk us through the latest agriculture headlines.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to mygrainexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency will continue to refer to highly pathogenic avian influenza in cattle as avian flu in cattle, and not refer to it as bovine influenza A virus, as suggested by the American Association of Bovine Practitioners earlier this month. As of Friday, there has not been a confirmed case of avian flu in cattle in Canada. Officials say it's too soon to say if an eventual positive case will significantly restrict animal movement, as is the case with positive poultry cases. This is a major concern for the cattle industry, as beef cattle especially move north and south across the U.S. border by the thousands. Currently, provincial dairy organizations have advised producers to postpone any non-essential tours of dairy barns as a precaution, in addition to other biosecurity measures to reduce the risk of cattle contracting avian flu. Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada made a small amount of changes in its April supply and disposition report released on Friday. Of the changes made, nearly all were slight adjustments to its pulse and special crop numbers. Among the grains and oilseeds, the lone alteration came with corn's domestic use number for 2023-24. AAFC tacked on 300,000 metric tons, raising it to 15.953 million. Despite lackluster canola exports so far in 2023-24, AAFC maintained its projection for 7.7 million metric tons, with the Canadian Grain Commission reporting year-to-date canola exports of 4.37 million tons with 13 weeks to go. One analyst commented they might make 6 million tons at most. Of the pulses, dry pea ending stocks for 2024-25 were cut from 240,000 metric tons in March to 190,000, while those from 2023-24 were reduced from 210,000 metric tons to 175,000. The carryover for mustard was also revised, with 2024-25 projected to be 105,000 metric tons, bumped up by 5,000. CN and CPKC Rail supplied a combined 71% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 37, unchanged from the prior week. CN saw a modest improvement in performance as compared to the prior week. In supplying 72% of cars ordered by shippers in week 37, CN saw performance increase from the 68% order fulfillment performance seen in week 36. CN performance remains below the 90% performance threshold for the 15th consecutive week. CPKC performance declined slightly from the prior week, with the railway supplying 70% of shipper orders in week 37, as compared to 75% in the prior week. CPKC performance remains below the 90% threshold for the 13th consecutive week. Environmental groups say deals between major water users in southern Alberta to share the resource won't be enough to stave off major drought conditions. The province says 38 municipalities, industry players, and irrigation districts have agreed to cut their water use should there be a severe drought this spring and summer. But the four memorandums of understanding they signed aren't legally binding. They also don't impose regulations under the Water Act or amend the terms of any existing water licenses. The Alberta Wilderness Association is calling on the Alberta government to declare an emergency, which would give it more powers to restrict water use. It says instead the province is content to rely on the goodwill of licensees that can exit an agreement at any time. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, it looks like today we got a pretty good chance of some scattered showers, but other than that, it's not going to look like there's a whole lot of rain in the forecast.
Yeah, there's low pressure sitting just almost not quite overhead. I was thinking the surface low is almost overhead. The upper level low is a little farther east. Doesn't matter. The difference is where it's not raining at any given moment, but it's moving. So even where it's not raining now, it will be shortly. So we'll ignore the exact positions of these things and note that there's enough spinning around these, both the surface low and the upper level low, that will be in and out of scattered showers through the afternoon and through the evening as well until this finally swings on by. It is all pulling eastward. So once it gets out, we'll get rid of this cooler air mass. We'll see a very quick recovery into a couple of nice days. But for today, scattered showers, we likely under the cloudiness won't get into double digits. This will be close, get up to 9. Wind is gusty, northwest, 20 to 40, a few higher gusts possible. So sort of a raw day. Showers are scattered, though. They are locally heavy, but they are scattered. There's plenty of time when it's not raining, and that's the potential we have for any areas to get a little warmer is where the sun does break out. But overall, we'll clear things out from these showers tonight. Likely one more hurrah before the end, partly cloudy overnight down to -2. It'll be a sharp drop later in the night. So not concerned even with those temperatures and mention of rain for any changeover. The rain will end long before we're at those colder temperatures. Partly sunny tomorrow. Like I said, quick recovery up to 17. Wind goes into the southwest. It picks up a bit Tuesday night and Wednesday. It will be a bit breezy settling down through later Wednesday. Overnight low 0, but a jump to 20. The air, not only the weather dry, but they are pretty dry too. 21 on Thursday with a partly sunny sky and backing off to 16 with the sunshine on Friday.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, 14 degrees, the lows around 0. Sun rose in Regina at 5:49 this morning, and the sun will set at around 8:06 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia at 10 degrees, Moosomin and Swift Current sitting at 6, Estevan at 9, Saskatoon 11, Yorkton, Melville, and Weyburn are at 8 degrees. The warm spot in the province is in Waseca at 14.9 degrees, and the cold spot here in Regina at 5. Speaking of which, over the Queen City, I should say, not under, there is some light rain coming down. West-northwest wind at 21 to 33 kilometers an hour. Humidity at 94%. Again, temperature 5 degrees or 41 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure at 100.1 and rising. Down the road in Moose Jaw, it is a cloudy sky west-northwest wind at 37 to 54 kilometers an hour, temperatures 7 degrees. Once again in Regina, just in case if you're tuning in, light rain, west-northwest wind at 21 to 33, and the temperature at 5 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Placements of cattle into U.S. feedlots dropped in March. Last Friday afternoon, the USDA reported 1,746,000 head went to feedlots, down 12% year over year. It was a larger than expected decline because of aggressive movement in February following the weather-related slowdown in January, along with generally tighter supplies in many of the major feeding areas. This is USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagham.
If we look at the marketing number, the number of cattle on feed over 150 days, which is sort of a marker of what we use to represent how fast cattle are being marketed, continues to grow well above a year ago as a proportion and as absolute numbers of cattle on feed, which is being reflected in the fact that the weights of cattle being slaughtered have been rather heavy.
March marketings were down 14% to 1,706,000 head, while the total number of cattle on feed at the start of April was up 1% to 11,821,000 head.
This report showed a decline in placements, which was below what a number of industry analysts were expecting. The low number of cattle being placed on feed reflects the fact that we are looking at increasingly tight supplies of cattle outside feed. We still remain in the contractionary phase of the cattle cycle. Feedlots still are selling off the cattle at a rather slow pace relative to history.
Steers and steer calves on U.S. feedlots on April 1st were 7.27 million head, or 61% of the total inventory. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today, we'll head over to Ottawa, where we'll follow up on a piece of legislation that's been in the upper chamber for about a couple of years now. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineer-tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. It's been 2 years now since Senator Rosa Galvez introduced what is generally known as the Climate Align Finance Act in the upper chamber. Its formal name is Bill S-243, introduced in the Senate, and once it goes through rigorous discussion by the Senate Banking Committee, it will head to the House of Commons for its perusal. It's aimed at helping align Canada's financial system with the federal government's climate goals, a description from Liberal MP Ryan Turnbull. The bill is supported by the Liberals, NDP, and also Green Party leader Elizabeth May. But it's sending up red flags for several industries, including the oil and gas sector and also agriculture. Kathy Jo Noble with the Agriculture Carbon Alliance outlined some of their concerns about S-243.
Farmers have a proven track record of reinvesting available capital back into their operations to improve efficiencies, productivity, and ultimately the sustainability of their operations. Thus, our concern with S-243 is that it may undermine the access to loans that are essential for the growth and sustainability of Canadian agriculture. The bill includes agriculture and land use activities in the emissions description, and the legislation defines federal institutions as banks, credit unions, but also Farm Credit Canada. These are organizations through which farmers seek financing. Ultimately, The legislation may further complicate the process of applying and accessing to keep farms afloat. It will create unnecessary regulatory burden that either takes time away from farming or requires the assistance of accountants or consulting firms, thus adding additional costs to the farmer. Canadian agriculture is well into its journey towards adopting environmentally sustainable production practices. To continue this commitment, additional capital investment is needed, necessitating increased access to loans. Any legislation that creates more barriers to accessing these funds is counterintuitive to the sustainability goals of the sector and the country.
That's Kathy Jo Noble with the Agriculture Carbon Alliance. Up next is the market update. We'll have a look at how grain prices at Viterra are doing in early trading today. Some of the usual commodities that make the most movement, they're way up to start the week. Question is, will they maintain that throughout the week? Well, I guess that's just what the subsequent days will tell, so to speak, for the lack of a better phrase. Take another break here. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620. CKRM.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
All right, the grain prices at Viterra were up so far in early trading. Canola is up $13.90 to $5.94 12 metric ton. And number one red spring wheat is up $11.22 at $3.17.46. The rest were unchanged. Durum $3.96.36, feed barley $2.32.58, chickpeas $9.92.08, flax $6.29.54, lentils $7.87.50, oats $2.71.32, yellow peas $4.74.72, and feed wheat $2.33.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 7.25 cents at $6.54 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Unfortunately, we don't have today's livestock quotes, so we'll run it back with the livestock quotes from Friday.
Good afternoon. This is Travis Platt with Heartline Livestock Moose Jaw. This past week, we had a regular cow and bull sale, with the market still strong for these cows. Them good cows are $1.75 to $1.85, with sales up in $1.90. Medium cows are $1.50 to $1.55. And them counter cows are $1.10 to $1.30. Them good bulls are $1.85 to $1.95 with sales up to $2.05.50. And them good heiferettes were $2.10 to $2.40 with sales up to $2.50. Next week, we have our all-breed calf and yearling pre-sort. And if you're looking to book in or have your marketing needs, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt reporting from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
Good news is we do have the latest pork prices. Today they're at $221.75 per CKG. Last but definitely not least is the Resource Report. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank, 306-721-6667. The Saskatchewan government is declaring again it had an outstanding 2023 for international exports. Government figures show the province exported $49 billion worth of goods to 163 countries, including $1 billion to its top five markets of the U.S., India, China, Brazil, and Japan. Saskatchewan's total wheat exports were up to a value of $5.7 billion, a 23% increase from 2022, largely due to more exports to Indonesia and Algeria. Canola oil exports were up slightly at 1.3% to $3.5 billion due to more exports to the United States, and exports of canola seed were up 17.6% to $3.2 billion last year. On the markets, the TSX is up 54 points at 21,862. Dow is up 247 points to 38,234. Oil is down 12 cents at $82.10 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is trading at 73 cents US. And that's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. And that's going to do her for Monday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.